We're talking Teletubbies, Tinky Winky, Dipsy,
welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of Mango, Donovan, and Bobo's Void. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm trying my best to survive in this modern world without blowing my brains out. How are you?
I would say you pretty much covered it. I think that's exactly
where we're all at.
How I'm doing. You know?
Have you met someone who's like thriving? They're insane. Like to be thriving right now.
You know, I also, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, right.
Because hoes are crazy. Mm. Everyone is always like, yeah, everything is so good and I'm positive and it's good vibes only. Yeah. And the deeper people get into that bag, the more unhinged I believe.
Right, That's another weird thing too. Like, I don't trust anyone who's like, yeah, I'm doing great. I can see your eyes. I see you screaming inside. And not to say that everyone is doing bad, but the people who are actually doing well are just like, yeah, you know, hanging in there, moving on. You know, it's the people who feel no need to project this image of like perfect happiness that are actually content and secure. But the niggas who are trying to convince you they're living it up, Jesus Christ.
Listen, I was in a yoga class yesterday and I was like, wow, we are all sick in this class.
Yeah, what happened?
Like, all of us here. No, I just think yoga attracts people that are mentally ill.
Yeah.
Let me put it like that. Let me just call a spade, you know? But it's very interesting because even within the yoga community, there's this sort of like need to project perfection and this need to project health. And it manifests itself in this obsession for like, I got the perfect posture. My abs are rock hard. It like manifests, you know, anytime I see people pursuing an image of perfection, I know they're sick. I see it. I see. And what's very interesting is, you know, I was in this Ashtanga yoga immersion for 8 hours because I'm sick, you know?
But it's good that you're aware about that, you know?
I'm very sick. Listen, no one does Ashtanga yoga for eight hours who is mentally healthy, you know? Why am I escaping? What am I running away from? What is it?
Yeah.
You know? And I see it. I see it in the eyes of everyone in that shala. I'm like, you bitches are sick.
Yeah.
you bitches are running.
I just feel like also being any kind of creative person, any kind of artist makes you so keenly aware of this because for the first time in honestly years, I've been like really, really inspired to make music and finish my songs. It's like, yeah, it's because I'm not doing that well. You know what I mean? just don't make beauty and you don't make incredible art when you feel whole. You know, like when people are genuinely content in life, which you'll find in some rural villages in Africa or maybe some nice quaint little towns in Europe, they don't do much. They don't strive for the stars. They don't push their body to the furthest extent and get as flexible as possible to do this crazy yoga pose. Or they don't stay up until 5 a.m. in the morning working on a mix of a song. That's what mentally ill people do. And I think just accepting that you're a creative person, it's accepting being mentally ill and stop trying to like lie about it. I also hate people who pretend like you can become great without being mentally ill because that's so dishonest. A big reason I thought that I could be a happy musician is because none of the musicians I looked up to were honest and were like, you're going to be a mentally ill drug addict. And that's just what it's going to be. I mean, do you want to write great songs or not? Like, what are we doing here?
We're always talking about mental illness, but today we're talking about secularism, another form of mental illness. Hot take. That's I'm going to just start off real chaotic today. Because I'm very interested in interrogating why we became a secular culture. And the real reason.
Yeah.
The real, not like religious trauma, the real anthropological
reason.
Don't
downplay my religious
trauma.
We've
rejected. And I had this thought yesterday that we live in such a secular culture, and yet here we are on a farm in a shala practicing Vedantic philosophy,
trying to find God.
through these yoga postures, you know? And it's just so ironic that I'm in this space with people from the most secular countries. We had Austrians in that bitch. We had German, a lot of Germans in that bitch. We had a lot of we had some Dutch people. You know, we had a lot of very secular cultures. Yeah. You know, trying to find God at the end of the world on a
just farm. In downward dog trying to feel some.
Just, you know what I mean? Just in downward dog trying to just, you know, trying to feel something, trying to reach samadhi. What are we trying to do? And it's very interesting that while the rejection of religion is at an all-time high, the craving for these sort of Eastern philosophical, spiritual pursuits are on an incline.
Absolutely.
You know? I'm almost more interested in the people who do yoga than I am in yoga itself. Yeah. I feel like I really drag myself to the studios every day because I'm so fascinated.
Yeah.
In like who's, and not like the vinyasa yoga, you know, like the fun little studios where they play like Katy Perry. Yeah. No, the people who go to hatha yoga, the people who go to the most ancient practices, who are on a farm.
That's where the real traumatized white women are. The white women who are going through some things.
Because it's like the girl next to me yesterday, you flew from Amsterdam to come here for a month to the end of the world to immerse yourself in Ashtanga. No, like Ashtanga is not a game. You're going through, you know, what are you trying to find? Yeah. I'm very interested. And a lot of them are vegan. Yeah. You know, there's a type, there's a demographic. Yeah. And I'm very interested in the anthropological sort of trauma to yoga pipeline. I'm very, very interested in that one. Especially because it's never Black people who already are convening with their ancestors. They're very assured in who they are. They feel very connected to their
It's also like never Christian
it's never
white
them.
People, you know?
No. Yeah. No. Do you know what I mean? It is always the liberal, vegan, secular, Western, middle to upper middle to very, very rich people, you know, that are on these very intense spiritual paths. We're doing Vipassana meditations for 10 days. We're going on silent retreats. Yeah. We're doing Ashtanga yoga immersion. I'm very interested in this phenomenon.
Yeah.
What's your take on what's going on?
So first of all, let's define really what we mean when we say secular. We're talking about godlessness. We're talking about people who, when you ask them about their religious beliefs, one, they get very uncomfortable talking about it because we've created a society where it's actually rude to bring up, which is kind of crazy, right? What are the things they tell you not to talk about? Religion, politics, and money, right? So it's in this category of things that we've actually deemed rude to even speak about in person in our society. But when we say secularism, we're talking about that. We're talking about kind of the most popular ideology of our time, which is no fixed religious or spiritual beliefs and a general belief in humanity itself and what I would call the myth of human progress. This idea that if we detach from religion and we detach from organizing moral and philosophical structures in our life, we will basically achieve utopia just by being really nice to each other. You know, it's kind of what I was talking about in the last episode, this boomer idea of all you need is love. Do we need to define what love is? No. Do we need to create a standard for human behavior? No. Do we need a moral and ethical code? No. All you need is love. And I think the selling point of secularism, which came into form really after the World Wars, when you look at most of human history, we were never secular. There's only very, very small pockets of secularism in history. But I think the reason why secularism rose to power is because it offers something that no religion really can, which is the ability to hold space with people you fundamentally disagree with. So a Muslim person could come to a secular space and go, hey, I believe that Allah is the truth and the one only God. And a secular person would accept them. But a secular person couldn't really go to a mosque and go, I think Allah is a big dumb idiot, without being kicked out. Mm. So the selling point of secularism was just this idea that because it is inherently more accepting, at least on paper, it is inherently a superior ideology. The fact that you don't have fixed beliefs means that you can't really be judged for any of your beliefs. And therefore, you get to kind of float above everyone and judge everyone who has a spiritual belief, judge anyone who has a religious belief. We see this kind of in the really douchey, fedora-wearing, Reddit atheist white man kind of type who, like, genuinely just thinks he's better than everyone because he doesn't believe in anything. These are the types of men who, like, get triggered anytime someone talks about astrology or anytime someone talks about yoga or anytime someone talks about Buddhism or Christianity, because you can tell that they just think that they're better than other people because they don't believe in anything. But that is where I call bullshit, because I think secular people have the strongest beliefs of anyone I've ever met, because they believe in the myth of human progress. They believe that humanity can survive and flourish without any organizing moral spiritual principles. You know what I mean? They have the level of belief in science and the field of psychology and the field of history that religious fanatics used to have in the fucking 1300s. The way that they will swear by Dr. Fauci, and they will swear by the DSM, and they will swear by the American political. It is the level of fanaticism that you would expect from, like, a religious lunatic. So they're religious lunatics in their own right. And I think that because secularism is the ideology of our time, it's very hard to understand it. It's very hard to understand which of our thoughts are influenced by this secular ideology. But yeah, I just wanted to have a general conversation about the pros and cons of religion and the pros and cons of godlessness. And if religion, as Marx said, is the opiate of the masses, do we need a little heroin?
Thank you for listening to the first half of this conversation. If you're interested in listening to the rest of this conversation, you will find it on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/bobosvoid, or you can just click on the link in the description box below. patreon.com/bobosvoid, or just click on the description box below. Thank you.